This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are on the upcoming faculty protest against President Trump's executive order and a recent scientific experiment involving pig and human embryos. We'll also hear about a King's freshman's unique sporting accomplishments and listen to this week's edition of the Business Beat. Response from President Trump's executive order came quickly from King's faculty and students. News director Katie Pugh interviewed four faculty members and a Syrian refugee on the implications of the order and the action that is being taken here at King's.
The King's community has given various responses to President Trump's recent executive order regarding immigration from seven Muslim-majority countries, even faculty organization of a King's coalition at the protests on Public Square this Saturday. Dr. Bernard Prusak, director of the McGowan Center for Ethics, discussed the technicality of the executive order.
So those seven countries are so-called countries of concern. That's how they were designated by President Obama. Last administration ever, never contemplated simply barring all those people. Of course, the United States did a lot to sow the seeds for the great destruction we've seen in Syria the last handful of years, and likewise, of course, for what's happened in Iraq. So a great number of people in dire need. And there's reason to think, given a lot of statements that President Trump made as a candidate and given a lot of statements that his various so-called surrogates have made, that the ban on travelers from seven countries and from Syria is an expression of an animus against Islam. So, as you know, as a candidate, President Trump wanted to ban all Muslims from coming here, and Rudy Giuliani recently stated that he had a conversation with President Trump, who told Giuliani that he wants this Muslim ban, but he just has to do it in a way that appears to be lawful, or that is lawful. Our country, we don't discriminate against people for religious backgrounds, right? That's against the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And a lot of people were very upset by the seeming cruelty of this decision, just all of a sudden slamming the door shut.
Dr. Bill Bolin of the Cheval Center discussed his experience helping these Syrian refugees settle in the United States before the ban.
I've worked and gotten to know refugees in this area, refugees including from Syria, and I know the extreme vetting process that they go through. If you have a chance to meet these families, to see the struggles that they've come through, the hardships that they've overcome, and how strongly they are working to make a life for themselves in America, you would immediately realize these people are not terrorists. And a lot of studies show that your chances since 9/11 of being a victim of a terrorism attack are ridiculously low. It's a billion to one shot, some will even say.
Anas Alous, who came to speak about his experience in November, recounted the process his family went through to become a refugee in the United States.
We lived about 3 years in Jordan before coming to the United States. The UN called us and interviewed us 15 times. Then they told us we will go to USA. Before come to United States, we interviewed with my family 15 times, almost 15 times, in 11 months. Because it checked up very well for my family and who is this family.
Father Jack Ryan, president of King's College, issued a statement on the Catholic view of the executive order. Father Tom Looney, director of campus ministry, explained this position.
The general statement about, Catholic social teaching on immigration is very important. And there's three basic principles that Catholics use kind of to think about that. One is that people have the right to immigrate. They have the right to seek the basic necessities of life and of opportunities that may, for various reasons, be deprived to them in their own homeland. And the reality is most people don't want to leave their homeland. Most people find that where they are born, where they are in the midst of their family, in the midst of their own culture, most people want to live there, but to be able to thrive there. So when many people on our planet immigrate, it's not necessarily because of any great desire of wanderlust. It's really necessity. It's really looking for a better, dignified way of human life. So the first principle of Catholic social teaching on immigration is that we respect that right. The second is that countries have the moral responsibility to oversee their borders, to make sure that the citizens of their own country share in the benefits of the basic necessities of human life, and have a moral obligation to do that, and to look and to say, how many people can we welcome? But the third principle is that in Catholic social teaching on this matter is that that regulation needs to be done always with justice and mercy. Again, I think a strong protectionism that seems to be taking shape within our country right now goes against some of that fundamental movement of the Catholic tradition, where Catholic means universal, means openness to all people.
Dr. Bridget Costello of the Criminal Justice and Sociology Department was one of the first faculty organizers regarding the protests of the order. She described her role as a sociologist in taking action on this issue.
The idea that as informed professionals, we have an ethical obligation to remain neutral. We also have a moral obligation to call out misinformation when we say it, call out misperceptions. And I think a lot of that is part of this executive order. I think it's premised on a misunderstanding about the association between immigration and crime, right? Immigrants actually much less likely to commit crime than other groups. It's premised on a misunderstanding of how the radicalization process works. If we're concerned about radical Islamic terrorism, then we need to be particularly concerned about providing more ammunition for those who would create radical terrorists, somehow claim the moral high ground and say, oh, well, look, the United States is discriminating against all Muslims, as this appears to be. So, I do feel an obligation as a sociologist to say, look, my discipline studies these things. My discipline, the research coming out of my discipline suggests that this is an incredibly wrongheaded thing.
Dr. Costello also mentioned the events planned on and off campus in the coming days, culminating in the protests on Public Square organized by Misericordia Saturday at 1 p.m.
The events that have been planned for Thursday, Friday, and the weekend really truly are nonpartisan. They really truly are attempts to invite people into a conversation, to provide information, right? So we're setting up this table in the campus center, and we will have statements on the position that our various local and state representatives have taken on the executive order, as well as their contact information. So whether you want to call Lou Barletta to praise him or condemn him for his position, we'll give you his number.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
The scientific community advanced its research in the human genome this past week, working with human embryos. Station manager Jessica Mulligan sat down with biology faculty to discuss this breakthrough.
A recent scientific breakthrough has made headlines recently in science journals across the United States. This breakthrough is the hybrid of a pig embryo with human stem cells. According to a journal called Cell, this testing involved growing tissue that would form the early stages of human organs such as the heart, liver, and neurons. This is not the first test of its kind, as other experiments have also been conducted, such as one with mouse and rat material to grow a pancreas. Dr. Stephanie Justice Bittner, associate professor of biology, shared her expertise on the subject of how the pig embryo works.
My understanding is what they did is that they had over 2,000 fertilized pig eggs that they put human cells into, and from that they had maybe 100 or so that actually turned into embryos, which means that they actually started dividing, that they implanted into the pigs. And of those, they noticed that the embryo size wasn't the same as it would be for a normal pig. And so they actually have had a lot of issues. It's exciting because they're able to get some of the human cells to live, but it isn't nearly as close to making an organ as I think the general population is meant to believe with the little headlines on Facebook.
She continued by explaining the process of a chimera and how scientists inject embryos.
Term is chimera. So a chimera is any organism that's composed of two genetically different types of cells. So with interspecies chimeras, you have cells in an embryo that are of one species and of another one. So you can have things like rat cells in mice embryos, mice in rat embryos, all different kinds of combinations of things. So they use a very fine needle underneath a microscope, and so they would have a concepsis, which is basically the fertilized egg, and then once it divides a couple of times, they would sort of insert the cells kind of near or inside another cell. And then the hope is that some of those cells will divide and then you'll have two different cell types in the organism. So chimeras actually occur naturally in humans too. So they can occur where you have certain, people can have certain body regions that have a completely different genetic makeup than another set. So for example, someone could have three chromosome 21s in their cheek cells or in their blood, but not in the cells that would be making up eggs or sperm, and so it isn't passed on. So they happen naturally too, but those would be two human cells that have different genetic components as opposed to two different cell types that are coming from two different species.
Justice Bittner further explained how this is an advancement from the mouse rat testing.
I think it has, I think it actually has more to do with how immunogenic the pig tissue is. So pig heart valves have been used for a long time to replace human heart valves. They've done that for long periods of time just because they don't activate the immune system as much as some other species do. But like gestation periods between pigs and humans are quite different. So pigs deliver at about 4 months. We deliver at technically 10. Everybody always says 9, but it's really 10.
Considering that testing on human cells is not federally supported, and this was perhaps privately sponsored, she explained how this specific testing would work.
Because they used induced stem cells instead of actual stem cells. So what they can do is they can take some certain adult cells, grow them with particular growth factors and conditions, and get them to revert back to the stem cell state, so that they're at least multipotent, which means that they can form different types of tissue types, but they're still somewhat restricted in the types of tissues that they'll differentiate into in an embryo. So they're not, that particular study didn't use fetal tissue. They used the pig fetal tissue, but not human fetal tissue.
Keep alert for updates on this and other scientific advancements in the news. For WRKC News at 5, I am Station Manager Jessica Mulligan.
Coming up next, we'll hear about a unique athlete from King's College and take a look into the world of economics on the business beat.
Woo! Let's get crazy!
In movies, when someone at a party jumps into a pool fully dressed, everyone cheers them on and jumps in too. Just so you know, in real life parties, nobody jumps in after you. You just look stupid.
Come on, jump in. Come on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Casey from Fisher Spooner, and you're listening to WRKC, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Many people think of figure skating during the Winter Olympics, but figure roller skating is becoming more prevalent each and every year. Cleveland, Ohio native and King's College freshman David Rist is a part of the United States figure roller skating national team. David spoke about roller skating, competing, and what it's like to represent the United States. Riz spoke about his first roller skating experience.
So it started with a kindergarten roller skating party that I couldn't actually go to. Well, I did go to, but I couldn't skate then. I was going around the floor and I was watching all my other friends skate out without ease. And I'm like, oh, Mom, I really need to take lessons. So I started taking group lessons and it kind of spurted on from there. Started taking private lessons and then eventually started competing.
The hard work and determination going out for the United States national team was not easy.
So I definitely wasn't prepared for my first year. Before I started the world class type level, I was maybe going 3-4 times a week. It then went up to 5-6. Sunday started going like 5-hour practice sessions straight. We had world coaches brought in. It got a whole lot more intense. And as much as I was like at first nationals and I kept going to nationals for all these American events and it was fine. And then eventually when we took that next level, it was a whole new experience. The work was a whole lot harder. And then when we went to Worlds the first time and realized Italy was way above what we were skating and Portugal was way above, and that really like upped our game and basically the whole entire US's game is we all decided to go harder. Some people are bringing international coaches. We brought in world coaches who had former skaters who had won.
Representing the United States is an unreal feeling.
It didn't hit me till the second year when I really started talking to people. I started talking to some of the South Americans there, and you kind of realize what they think of your country and how you are like a physical representation of everything they know about your country. Like, you become that country to them. You are representing like an entire population of, in my case, like millions, hundreds of millions, in fact. And there's like 23 of us, and we are the USA to them. That's all they know, and they're all we know about their country. That's when I first realized, when I'm like, they're telling me all these things that they think of the U.S., and you're like, well, it's actually not really like that. And you start telling them more about how your culture is, and that's when it really hit me that I'm like, this is a whole lot bigger than just skating. This is partially like international diplomacy in a way, but it's also like trying to correct some of the things that are commonly misinterpreted about your country. And then you're also representing them in a sport, and just to be like, yeah, I did that, and for my country, and every, you see all the different countries clapping for you. It's a really special feeling.
David has a long list of accolades, including 8 gold, 5 silver, and 5 bronze medals during his 7-year career, but one sticks out, then all the rest.
That first national medal, silver medal, where I got to go to Worlds. Having that feeling of, you have this goal of, oh, we're going to go to Worlds, we're going to be the premier. And we did it for a year and we got like 4th, I believe. And we were so close because you only need the 2nd spot to go, but we didn't get there. And then when it actually came and we're like, oh, geez, we actually made it. Like, this is actually happening now. That's probably my favorite and probably be the most memorable. It was just an utter shell shock. And the amount of people that came up to me and congratulated me for my first time going to Worlds, it was a pretty spectacular experience.
David has some final thoughts.
I guess if anything, most people only view ice skating as the only big premier skating sport, but basically roller skaters do everything that ice skaters do. I mean, we can't do the backflips because the wheels weigh a little bit more than a blade, but all the jumps, all the spins, all the freedom, basically it can be done on roller skates too. It just takes the effort, and it's surprisingly a lot more fun. It's a close-knit community. There's not really that much drama. I mean, there's some. I mean, it's come with any sport, but for the most part, it's just a really close-knit community. Everyone gets to know everybody, and for the most part, as long as you just enjoy yourself, people will enjoy you. They'll congratulate you, and as much as you're competing against it, 9 times, probably more, like almost 10 times out of 10, everyone's going to say good job, or they're going to try to help you. Other coaches even might try to help you. It doesn't really matter if you're from a different state anyway. It's like, we are a united country, and like, you can truly see that unity, and then it's just a fun thing to do in general.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm sports director Dan Stokes.
Hello, this is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. Real GDP growth slowed in the fourth quarter to 1.9%. After providing a sizable boost to economic growth in quarter three, net exports exerted a significant drag on growth in quarter four. Business fixed investments continued to gradually recover. Full year GDP growth was 1.6% for 2016, matching the slowest annual pace since the recovery began. It is expected that real GDP will accelerate to 2.3% in 2017, buoyed by a more balanced growth. Coupled with growth in GDP, existing and new home sales for December were weaker than expected, with a sharp dip for new home sales as higher mortgage rates weighed on sale activity. In other U.S. news, tech giant Apple snapped out of 3 straight quarters of falling revenue as strong demand for the iPhone 7 raised investors' hopes that the technology giant is emerging from its roughest period since it reinvented the market for mobile devices. The iPhone maker reported quarterly earnings and revenue that easily beat analysts' expectations on Tuesday, but gave future guidance on the lower end of expectations for the coming quarters. The Global Review. Stronger than expected UK GDP growth in quarter four. Recent data continues to show that the UK economy remains resilient 7 months after the Brexit referendum last June. That being said, lingering uncertainties regarding the economic outlook probably mean that a rate hike by the Bank of England is not on the docket in the near future. Like the United Kingdom, Mexico is an economy that has its economic outlook clouded by recent political developments. Namely, the potential renegotiation of the NAFTA agreement that the Trump administration is seeking adds downside risk to the Mexican economic outlook. Economic activity in Mexico accelerated in November. However, much of the apparent acceleration was attributable to the inherently volatile agricultural sector. Recent monetary tightening by the Bank of Mexico has slowed the increase in economic growth. The industrial sector in Mexico has seen very limited growth, almost non-existent since October. The Mexican peso also depreciated more than 15% against the U.S. dollar between Election Day and Inauguration Day. The CPI inflation rate in Mexico rose to 3.4% in December from a 2.5% low in June, and the depreciation of the peso puts further upward pressure on that inflation. The future of the Mexican economy at this time is very uncertain and could deteriorate. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
And now the weather. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 28. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high of 35. And Friday will be partly cloudy with a high of 29. Seniors can now RSVP for the class dinner with Father Ryan, president of King's College. Reserve your spot by February 10th by finding the link in your King's email. The dinner will be on the 16th. WRKC will also be calling the women's and men's basketball games tonight starting at 6, so stay tuned for coverage of Monarch basketball. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.